I want to talk to us about how we view the world around us, or at least how we view today. Today is an interesting day, like every other day. The now is seemingly the most important thing in our lives all the time. The now, the now, the now. But it's a pressure cooker, you know. We're in this compressed part of history right now, where we know that our view of this right now will be different in years to come. We'll look back and see it differently. But right now, it just is what it is, as the saying goes. Some would say it's unprecedented. We've heard that just a little bit too much, haven't we? We're seeing bin isolation outings. We're seeing a lot of people dressing up and doing fun stuff just to take their bins out. We're seeing some fantastically fun music collaborations online, and that's really cool too. But we're also seeing the rise of kind of the conspiracy theorists and the negative news, and we're seeing people really sort of tap into that human thing to become very fearful and very anxious and very worried and feeling like we need to take control. And so we'll grasp onto just about anything to take control. And today, I think our challenge is that we need to remind ourselves once more of what it is Christ does for us by helping us lift our eyes. Now, there's a few ways that I try and change my day and influence kind of how I'm seeing things. Of course, I love music. So one of the songs I was thinking of is, do you remember that Sunday school song? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Anyway, I don't remember all of it. But I know that it was important to learn that we see what we hear and we hear what we see, and all of those things are combined. And we need to be careful. We need to sort of, you know, make sure pure things in, pure things out. That was kind of the lesson of that. I remember one of my favorites was a song by Silverchair. They had a song called The Greatest View, which is a great song. I'm watching you watch over me, and I got the greatest view. Anyway, I'm not allowed to sing it because YouTube will cut us off and I don't know, we'll get sued or some sort of thing. But look, I also have some books that really helped me, and I just wanted to show you some of those books. And this one I really love. This is by Philip Yancey, and it's just called Jesus, and it's a graphic representation of the Gospels, and it has pages in it like that. Beautiful, beautiful pages, and it's just scripture put into different visual pages, and it's really fun. I love this one. It's always an uplifting thing just to open up these kind of pages and know that they're just scripture, but it just leaps off the page at me, kind of changes my view a little. This is another one that I love. This is morning and evening daily prayers. You can't see it there. I'll try and do it. There we go. By C.H. Spurgeon. Incredible wisdom gathered from down through the ages. This is Erwin McManus's The Last Arrow. I love that one. A really inspiring book. A book that, you know, helps me remind myself of, you know, making sure I make the most of each opportunity that I have. This is one my mum gave me years ago just to make me a better teenager. It's called The Winning Attitude by, of course, Mr. Maxwell. Your attitude determines your altitude. But just letting you know that I'm not always, you know, reading leadership books and feeling inspired by deep and meaningful godly things. Sometimes I'm just reading things like this. This is Steve Martin, and this is a book called Pure Drivel, which is, you know, kind of one of those things that just I don't know, I love it. I love a bit of silliness, as you well know. But right now, this now is a very confronting now, and some of us are finding it very, very hard to change our view. Some of us are finding it very, very hard to lift our eyes to heaven. You know, we're being told that this is a season where we can reinvent and realign, but so many of us are feeling like I just feel like I'm regressing and heading towards ruin, you know. And I just want to encourage us that that's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is always redemption, is always renewal, is always the sun will rise the next day. One of the things that I'm challenged with at the moment, as I see conspiracy theories rising up, as I see what I consider to be anxieties rising up in people, as they're trying to figure everything else out for themselves and figure out, you know, that obviously all these people are so organized and there's all these conspiracy theories going around and they're distressing and they cause anxiety, and I don't think people are helping. And here's the thing that I'm reminded of: every time we drill down into human understanding, it gets weirder and weirder and weirder. In fact, if you drill down into human understanding and human wisdom, all you find is more dross. Here's the difference though: drill down into the knowledge of God, drill down into his nature and his character and what he meant for us, and what you will find is gold. You will not find an end of that finding either. In fact, in God there is only ever new beginnings. And that's the view I want us to take into today. That's the view I want to take into tomorrow and the next day. That in God, in Christ, there is no end. There are only new beginnings. We have prophets that have spoken to us in the word. We have poets. We have the Proverbs. We have peasants and kings. And God uses all of them. And one of the ones that I love is in Hosea, the prophet Hosea. When he says this, he says, "Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear." He will come near. As surely as the sun rises, he will come near. "He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth." Now, don't get me wrong, this prophecy is full of warning. It's full of slaps to some of the tribes of Israel, reminding them to come back into alignment with the things of God or suffer the consequence of their sin. So you have to read the whole chapter to get the whole context, but these parts really speak to us right now. Verse 6 is very famous. It says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." In other words, right there in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah says to us, you know, all you've got to do is bring you. I require mercy, not sacrifice. I don't require you to pretend to look good or get someone else to cover up your stuff for you. I require that of you. Bring you. Bring mercy. Bring peace. Be a person that brings those things to the table. But that's harder than it sounds, of course. Psalm 46 is one of my favorites, and I've used it many, many times, and it's worth reminding us. It says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging sea," which just means stop and have a think about that and focus on that for a moment. What an incredible thought that mountains could crumble and fall, that waters could roar and foam, and you could still hold yourself at peace knowing that he is control. Therefore, we will not fear. We are not people of fear. John 9 is one of my favorite moments where Jesus finds a man born blind, and he decides that he's going to heal this guy. And so he bends down and he makes mud in the soil, and he makes this mud and he wipes it on this guy's eyes. And then he says, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." The man goes and washes. His sight is returned to him, and suddenly he's with great joy rushing out and telling people, "A man, some man came to me and told me to do this, and now and I did it. I did what he told me to do, and now I can see." Well, of course, his great joy became something of a conspiracy for others. They didn't believe what had happened. They couldn't figure it out, because in those days, if you had a disability, it was considered, or if you had something wrong with you in some way, it was considered that you had sinned or your parents had sinned. There was a generational understanding that your sin had caused the physical ailment that you were suffering. I'm sure no one thinks like that anymore. But hey, in those days, you know, people thought that, you know, you could blame this on behaviors rather than just disformities that happen in the natural world. And so this man was healed, and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, were trying to figure out how this had happened. So they come to him and they say, how has this happened? And he replied, this is verse 11 of John 9. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He just retold the story. And he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and then I could see. Well, where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. I don't know. See, here's the thing. He then goes and testifies in the temple, and his parents sort of try and take a back step from him because they don't want to be blamed for all this commotion either. And eventually, they just kick him out of the temple. They kick him out of the gathering. What a cruel thing. He's gone through this incredible healing. He's speaking in great joy, but it's confused and created conspiracy amongst the people. And so they kick him out because they don't understand. But here's the beauty of it. Jesus seeks him out again. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you right now. Imagine the chills going through this man as he heard that voice. He would have known that voice. That's the voice of the guy that told me to go and wash. It's almost like the heart and the head and everything connects, and suddenly he comes awake and alive. And though he had a physical healing, only a little while ago, now he's something's coming awake and something he's seeing it new again. His spiritual eyes are seeing. And then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. He went from being blind to being able to see. And when he could see, he started seeking. And when he had found Jesus, he started worshipping. And once he had worshipped, he then went and told others. Jesus came near to him. Jesus came near to him more than once. Jesus came near to him and put mud on his eyes and said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And then he sought him out again. Jesus came near again. As surely as the sun rises, he will come near to us, says Hosea. Though the waters roar and foam, we will not fear, says the psalmist. Jesus is one that seeks us out and wants to bring comfort to us. Right now it is tough. Right now is this compressed moment. Now is hard, but now is often hard. This now may be different to a now that was a little while ago, but you're always going to find yourselves in seasons of high pressure. We have friends right now who are sitting beside their child in a hospital bed in a cancer ward that are worried about a virus that could take her life because her immune system is low because of the cancer treatment she is receiving. And yet they're writing to us and speaking of the hope they have in Christ, and I am amazed by them. We have friends who only a little while ago, a couple of weeks ago, had to bury their father and have a funeral with only 10 people in attendance. A father that one of the children had only reconciled with in recent times and had only had a short amount of time to share some joy with. And then not only did they have to deal with the grief of losing him and losing that momentum of the reconciliation, but also not being able to gather and stand with friends and family. But yet they're telling us of the joy they have experienced, even in their grief. I have friends in the aviation industry that have lost their jobs, and we have friends that are in small spaces right now, in small houses, and they're worried about their mental health that they struggle with anyway, whilst trying to look after their child as a sole parent and feed and clothe them and educate them and all of these pressures. And yet they're saying to us, but we have hope, because Christ is on our side. That hope is a hope that can only really be carried by a person who understands that once they were blind, but now they see, that the scales have been taken from their eyes, that once they see, they sought, and once they found Jesus, they worshipped, and as they worship, they walk, and they tell that story again, and they recognize that Jesus keeps coming back, keeps seeking them out, and that each and every morning, the morning, as surely as the sun rises, he will come to us. The very end of this book, the Bible, the scriptures that we have, the inspired scriptures that we have, speaks to the beauty of Jesus and what it means for us to know and understand who he was, who he is, and who he always will be. And this is Revelation 22, and it says in verse 12, "Look, I am coming soon." I am. The I am that I am said, I'm coming soon. Remember, his promises are good. His promises are yes and amen. He's never dropped the ball on one of his promises. "Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." So many of us want to know what the end of this now will be. Kind of doesn't matter, because he's the end of the whole story. But he's also the beginning. And remember, in the end, there is only a new beginning for those walking with Christ, for those that see. It says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city." In other words, blessed are those who have done away with the sin that so easily entangles, the thing that gets between them, between heaven and earth, the thing that stops them having great relationship with their Father in heaven. We need to repent of our sin. We need to push the things aside, the things that get in, the things that are unholy. And the scripture tells us very clearly, you know what they are. You have a conscience, and the Holy Spirit conviction will lead you in the right way and walking alongside other saints and all of the practices that we are involved in, continually coming to worship, continually coming around the word, continually coming and bowing before the foot of the cross where we are forgiven. We need to do those things. We need to put aside the sin. It says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, who have put aside sin." In verse 16, it says, "I am both the source of David and the heir to his throne." I'm both the source of David and the heir to his throne. Who was David? David was the greatest king that ever served Israel. David was, you know, he's the guy that, you know, wrote all the Psalms and did all the things and 40 years of peace in Israel and all of those sorts of things. And Jesus is coming and saying, you know who David is. You know this great king. You know him? I'm the source of his throne, and I am the heir to that throne. I am the king. He says, I am the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. I know the beginning and the end. So why wouldn't you change your view and look to him? Why wouldn't you do that? He says, I am, and this is my favorite, I am the bright and morning star. I look to the stars and I see something magnificent. You know, Abraham looked to those stars and he saw his descendants that he would never see, but God said would be there. There is a promise in the stars. I'm the bright and morning star. I am the hope of humanity. I am Jesus. That's what he's saying. I'm the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. I'm the source of the throne. I'm the heir to the throne. I am everything you need. So change your view. Change your view. I want to speak to you really, really quickly about a few things that can help you change your view just from looking a little closer at these scriptures. In verse 12, it says, look up, I am coming soon. Do you know what? You can look sure. You can be sure of the future because he is coming. He's the beginning, he's the end, he's coming. And in the end, there is no end, there's only a new beginning. He is coming to set up a new beginning for all of us, for all who understand that they were blind, but now they see, yeah? That when we seek, then we worship. When we worship, then we walk. He's the beginning and the end, and we keep coming back to him, and he keeps seeking us out. So we can be sure. We can look sure. We can look back, and it's okay to look back because you won't regret when you look back. You'll see the history that has led us to this place, the thousands of years of the church continually advancing, the thousands of years before that where God made himself known through all of the covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the thousands and thousands of years of human history that proves God's presence with us, leading us. You can look back. He is the beginning You can look back and see that and see his faithfulness throughout. You can look forward. He is the heir to the throne. He's already king, but he's going to be fully elevated. There will be a day where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. You can look forward to that. And of course, you can look up and see the bright and morning star. I want to encourage us today to change our view, to not be crushed by the now. This will pass. This season will go. The sun rises and the sun sets. But every time the sun rises, we should look up and know that he will come near. The blind man knew he was blind, and then he knew he could see. How did this happen? He says, "I don't know. I just did what Jesus told me to do." Jesus is doing that for us today. Just saying, "Come near to me. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you," says the scripture. Therefore, we will not fear, though all these things happen around us. We will not fear. Why? Because we know as surely as the sun rises, he will come near. There are some of you watching right now that have never said a prayer that allows Jesus to lead your life. It's a prayer of surrender, and it's a prayer of redemption. It's a prayer that says, "God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of that which has gotten between myself and your destiny for my life, and lead my life." If you want to pray that prayer this morning, we encourage you to just click that button right now and let somebody pray with you, or at least try and explain to you a little more. Maybe you have more questions. Maybe you need to ask those questions. Ask those questions. Our hosts would love to speak with you right now. For you who right now are feeling crushed and dismayed and anxious and overwhelmed and worried and beaten up a little, and you're thinking, "This now is too much. I can't handle this now," I want you to look up. I want you to change your view. I want you to get back into the Word. I want you to stay in worship. And I want you to understand that as surely as the sun rises, he will come near to you. Remind yourself, look sure, he is coming. Look back, he was the source, and he's the beginning. Look forward, he is the end, the heir to the throne. And look up, he is the bright and morning star. Would you let us pray with you this morning? Father God, we thank you for this incredible group of people. Lord, when we hear your voice, may we fall to our knees in worship. And when we have fully understood that, may we walk and speak your truth to others. And we pray these things in and through the mighty name of Jesus.